Hi, Steve Artimer here, and welcome to the New Life Live podcast. We hope to provide help and hope in your life through God's Word, counselors, and psychologists as we answer questions from listeners who call with the challenges of life. Let's go to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. We are so glad that you joined us today. I am joined today by J.J. West and Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're going to take your calls for a couple of hours, 1-800-229-3000. And each and every day, you get to hear the wisdom from these incredible co-hosts, and we love to hear your questions. So give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. J.J., I'd love to know, what is on your mind these days?
Well, Becky, what's on my mind is that I just got back from an incredible trip seeing several of the national parks out in the Southwest, and I was struck by the stunning beauty that's all around, everywhere you look, just beautiful vistas everywhere you look. And then what was interesting is there was a dichotomy because we planned for our last night before we flew back home. We flew in and out of Vegas, and so my wife and I had never been to the Las Vegas Strip, so we booked a hotel there, and we had no idea. We had no idea what was in store for us. And what was really interesting to me was the dichotomy between the way God presents beauty as something to be appreciated, something to be something to admire, and the way the world presents beauty as something to possess and something that is bought and sold. And it's such a strange dichotomy between the two. But what also was interesting to me was this dichotomy within myself that I long for this beauty that God offers, that most of who I am, that's what I respond to. And yet there's this part of me that still gets drawn into this twisted, ugly presentation of beauty, this commoditized, if I can make up a word, version of beauty. There's still a part of me that wants to respond to that, and I hate that. It frustrates me that that's even there at all. But the thing that stuck out to me most was I saw all of these families with small children from elementary age through middle school age walking around with them in this environment that was completely not family friendly. And listen, this isn't a diatribe. If you love Vegas, I'm not trying to slam you. But what was interesting to me was I watched these young boys, 10, 12 years old, and I thought about my own experience of sexuality being awakened way too early, in my elementary age. And it broke my heart to think about how these boys are watching what's going on around them and how normalized it is for them. Mm-hmm. And what impact is that going to have on their lives? And, that's why we do what we do. That's why I do what I do. That's why I work with Every Man's Battle, because I want to help men who have had that experience have a different experience of beauty. Men who are struggling. Yeah. Sorry.
JJ, it reminds me, though, we've known for years that even in the casinos, the lights, the colors, there's a purpose behind all of that. It is to attract. And I love the idea that we can either be attracted to God's beauty and in the way that He designed it, or we can accept the false narrative that's presented to us as beauty, and we get confused in the middle. But I love that. And I know Jill's got an artistic thought process. I know. We'll talk more about that. But it's really what do we accept as truth and what is real beauty as opposed to the false things that are of this world that, and you're right, these young people who are being exposed at such a young age, we need to help them. We're going to take calls after this. Thanks, JJ. 1-800-229-3000.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
I'm Steve Artimer with a New Life Moment. Society says, just do it. And our flesh says, more, more, more. Our appetite for pleasure fuels our lives. Is this a bad thing? Well, actually, friend, you were designed for pleasure. But the pleasure that will truly satisfy is finding pleasure in God. Far too often, however, we aim infinitely lower, seeking satisfaction from power or food or status or money or things. C.S. Lewis wisely reflected that we're like ignorant children who want to go on making mud pies in the slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased, he concluded. Are you dissatisfied in your hunt for pleasure? If you'd like to know how to exchange those mud pies for a seaside holiday, visit me, Steve Arterburn, at newlife.com. Thanks for listening to this New Life Moment.
I always love to hear these New Life Moments from Steve. And, you know, we select these before we know what.
And don't they dovetail so nicely?
Always.
Although I mean, have to say, I loved making mud pies as a kid.
Oh. But it's so funny because he just is highlighting what you just shared, JJ, that, you know, God's beauty is far better than anything that we could create ourselves. But I'm
well,
so glad.
And how – can I just add in and
yeah.
how Satan creates the artificial, right? And JJ, like you were saying, there's a part of us that are drawn to that because, like Las Vegas, and Las Vegas can be fun, but it's glitzy, and you're right, the lighting and everything that draws you in, and there's something tantalizing, right, and exciting about that. Versus the awe and grandeur, mm-hmm. right? That doesn't have all the flashing lights, right? But that is so much more real and solid. But that tantalizing draws us in. And, you know, the next morning when the lights are all on, it doesn't quite look the same.
So no, it does not. It does
part
not.
Part illusion.
And you know what? The greatest thing, because I saw some of your pictures, JJ, from your travels, it is breathtaking to get out into nature and mm-hmm. see what God has designed. And you can't hardly express just what you see. It's just really, it's awe-inspiring. And so maybe if you haven't been outside in a while, you need to get outside. And it could be your backyard. You never mm-hmm. know. So, well, we're going to go and we're going to take some calls. Like I said, we're taking your calls, 1-800-229-3000 for the next couple of hours. We are going to talk with Beth, who's calling us from Denver, Colorado, listens on KGFT. Hello, Beth. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Hi. Yeah. Hi. I have a question for you.
Go right ahead.
Are you there? Okay.
Yes.
We're concerned about our adult daughter and son-in-law who are making poor financial choices and decisions. They have two of our grandchildren, both under two, and we just see the writing on the wall that they will eventually probably need some financial help, if not need to live with us. And we had them live with us for about 4 months before they had children. It was not a good situation. It was just a very difficult situation. And so we're just wondering, looking at things, our son-in-law has now lost another job in multiple jobs that he's lost over the last couple of years and burning bridges. And we're just wondering how we could manage if things come to the point where they come to ask us for help, how should we navigate that?
Okay, Beth, it sounds like you're having a little bit of PTSD since you went through this before, and you do see the writing on the wall, right? And so how do you help? JJ, let's start with you. What would you suggest?
Yeah, well, Beth, I appreciate your concern for not only your daughter and son-in-law, but obviously your grandkids as well. Have you already had a conversation with your daughter and son-in-law about the financial decisions that they're making?
We have discussed it with them in the past. In fact, they asked us to loan them money about 2 years ago, and we said we would loan them some money on the condition that they would get some financial counseling.
Okay. And did they do that?
Either they could take the money free and not even pay us back and just get the counseling, or they could take the money and pay us back and not get the financial counseling. That's kind of how we left it.
Okay.
They had told us they would get the financial counseling, took the money. They did not get the financial counseling. Just one thing after the other came up. And so we never said, well, you know, you're going to have to pay us back, but it's kind of hanging over their head. What's that?
Why didn't you then say, okay, well, the other side of this equation was that if you didn't do the financial counseling, you would have to pay the loan back?
We just felt like that would be our negotiating chip for the next time they came to us, saying, well, you did not go to financial counseling, you did not pay the money back, therefore, you know, we kind of had that to hold on to as far as if they did come to us again, we would just, you know, tell them, you know, that won't work out because the last time you didn't follow through with what we asked you to do.
Sure. So I guess that makes sense to me, Beth. However, I would say that you are well within your rights. Even if they had done financial counseling or paid it back, you're still well within your rights to say, we're not comfortable offering more loans. You don't have to have that kind of ace in the hole to be able to say no if they ask you for another loan or even to ask to stay with you. You're allowed to say no to them. You're not required to give those things to them. Right?
Sure.
Now,
sure.
What I would recommend is that you're very clear with them in terms of whatever expectations you have. And if you've decided, are you married, Beth?
Yes.
Okay. So if you and your husband have decided this is not a good setup for them to stay with us again, make that clear. Uh-huh. This is not something that we are open to doing. And so you'll need to find another option. Maybe that's staying with his family. Maybe that's finding a housing situation that isn't as expensive as what they're currently using. But you're not required to do that for them. You can choose to. And if you do choose to, you can set very clear expectations. If you're staying here, here's what we expect from you. Here are the rules that we expect you to follow. But if you're not comfortable with that, you're more than welcome to say no.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Jill, what do you think?
Yeah.
Well, Beth, this is always a hard situation because it's your daughter and you want her to be well taken care of. And she's married somebody that doesn't know how to do that, that doesn't know how to provide and keep setting up situations where that falls through. And I don't know how old they are, but just, you know, in being a man and taking on that responsibility, he hasn't gotten that. You have grandchildren, and that always complicates things because you don't want the little two-year-olds to suffer, right? But I think that you have done a good job of kind of setting a precedence and helping, right? And now realizing that your help isn't helping. Right? Mm-hmm. You've been through these things. And I think we can use the history when and if they come to you, and maybe they won't come to you because they know already.
Yeah.
But when and if they do, I think the idea is, you know, we really want to be supportive of you in a way that actually helps. And our history with you is that all the things we've tried actually haven't changed the situation. It actually hasn't helped. It's gotten you out of the immediate crisis, only to have you guys end up in another one. And so you're not learning the skills needed to avert the crises, right? And so finding ways to support, I would still say, you know, the deal is still out there. You could still go to financial counseling and we'll wipe away your debt. Otherwise, that money will still be owed at some point, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't just let them off the hook because you haven't said anything. I think it's important that you have some reasonable, firm boundaries, right? Otherwise, right. You're treating them like children. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. If you're just right. taking care of them. I also, like what JJ said, I would not see yourselves as the only answer for them.
Right.
Right? If the right. door is closed with you, then they have to figure out something else. And they have to dig deep and resource mm-hmm. themselves. Right? Or they sink lower mm-hmm. and lower. Now, where I would step in is where you could directly help the grandkids. If it's if they live close enough and you can offer to babysit so that your daughter can work, if you want to pay for preschool or you know, things like that, that would give your grandkids what they need, and in that way indirectly helping your daughter and her husband, but not just bailing them out of their crises. And it's super hard.
It is hard, and I think that is the other part of this too, Beth, is that you're trying to help them, but how do you help you and your husband mm-hmm. deal with the feelings that come with setting mm-hmm. these boundaries? Mm-hmm. Jill, isn't that true? When you think about when you set boundaries, they don't always feel good,
no,
right?
No, it feels terrible. It can feel terrible, and it would relieve your anxiety of, are they going to be okay to just throw money at them? But you know, and how you've approached this call, you know that isn't the right answer to just keep throwing money at them, because you're going right. to forever have them dependent and on your doorstep. And, right, you know, right. maybe this is a guy, like, why does he keep losing jobs? You know, maybe you pay for therapy for him, right?
Well, like, he is going through counseling, thankfully, and he's been sticking to that, which we've been very, very grateful.
Okay.
But, we've seen some character issues that from the very beginning that have just been very concerning. I don't know that he'll ever change.
Beth, how old are they?
He's 33.
Okay.
And she's 30.
So. Okay. So they're just, you know, kind of 30, you finally become a real adult, it seems like. Mm-hmm. A lot of times the 20s are like the vagabond years. They're still figuring it out. But by 30, it's like you and having kids, it's like it's time. It's time to step up, right?
Yeah.
Beth, let me ask one other question here. Are your son and are your daughter and son-in-law aware of how poorly it went for those 4 months when they lived with you before, or did you keep that just to yourselves?
Yes. No. We had to confront them because it looked like it was going to go on for quite a while. They had told us they would be with us for a month. They were moving from out of state back into our state. And they said, it'll be a month and we'll get our, you know, back on our feet. They didn't have kids at the time. And then 1 month turned into 2 months turned into 3, and then 3 turned into an excruciating 4. And we were, we weren't really saying anything up until 4, and it kind of came to an explosion. So that was difficult, but we worked through that. I think they realized.
Well, they may not realize it, though, Beth. That's the hard part. That's the hard part.
Or they may have forgotten.
Or they may have forgotten. Because here's the big thing, is this works for them. And so you have to be able to do what works for you, knowing that it may not work for them. Mm-hmm. And it would probably be good for you to have some support of your own. And, you know, maybe you and your husband can get with a counselor and just process some of these feelings. It's, you know, you don't want to have a cycle with them coming back and forth. You've done really well with being clear, but the message hasn't gotten there yet. And so the strategy going forward, it's got to work for you, and it may not work for them in the way that you think, but it doesn't mean that you're wrong. I'm going to send you a copy of Dr. Jim Burns' Doing Life with Your Adult Children, Keeping the Welcome Mat Out and Your Mouth Shut. In this case, I don't know about that mat.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, we are going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. Jill and I were just talking at the break about this challenging phenomenon, because we both raised, we have adult children, and we were raised by adults. And so it's just a different world that we live in. I'm not saying it's good, bad, whatever. It's just a different thing.
Well, and there are some things in place that we were saying that weren't in place when we were being raised, right? That the whole instant society where everything's at your fingertips, you know, you don't even have to go to a library anymore. And so there's less resilience in the world with young adults, and they can't tolerate as much. And so now it makes me sound like an old person. But
I was going to say, we'll preface that with, we
know that music down. Get off my lawn.
I think, but JJ, your kids are younger than Jill and my kid. My kids are probably the oldest.
I still have 20-somethings.
Mine are all in their 30s. And it's amazing that they're alive. It's just, you know, to the grace of God. But, I mean, even JJ, because your kids are younger and you're still launching them, right? They're still in the college years.
I'm still launching.
You are still launching. See, I'm telling you, that launching pad,
it's long.
So, we're in that transition stage now.
And it's
go ahead.
No, finish your thought.
Oh, I was just going to say, which is a challenging time. I will say that I'm very, very grateful for my kids and the way that they are approaching life and the responsibility that they're already showing, even though they're not fully on their own yet, but they're headed that way. And the signs that we see so far all indicate that they're going to do fine when they get out on their own. And
even if they don't, they will. That's the challenge, right? Mm-hmm. It's like we all have to, you know, explore life in our own way, in the way that God leads us. And we just pray for this next generation to Jill's point,
we build resilience through failure.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's what builds our resilience, right? We have to go to failure
without being rescued,
right? Mm-hmm. I have to go to failure and go, oh, that doesn't work. I have to find a different way to do this. I have to find a different solution. And that builds my internal strength that I can handle what life throws at me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm rescued every time, then no, I don't. Right. I always use the same illustration. You know, if you go to the mall and you see a mom tying her little 3-year-old shoe, you think nothing of it. But if you saw a mom tying a 25-year-old shoe, you'd be like, that's odd. What's going on there? Right. And so we want to let them struggle with the process. Obviously, I can tie shoes faster than a 6-year-old can. But it's good for the 6-year-old to struggle with tying his shoes so that he builds that resilience.
That's right.
And so
right.
he doesn't come to be at 25.
Well, right. Like I used to, when my kids would want something, I would have them go into the store and ask the person directly instead of mom always doing it for them. It's like, use your voice. You can ask for what you're looking for, right? Just little things
That's
like
good.
That.
Well, let's keep on with the calls. We're taking calls 1-800-229-3000. Right now we're going to talk with Lisa, who's calling us from Little Rock. Hi, Lisa. Don't know where. How do you listen to us, Lisa? How do you hear us?
I can't hear you. A friend just recommended y'all.
Oh wonderful.
Good.
Okay, well, welcome aboard, Lisa. How can we help you?
Okay, since December, middle of December, I've been having a lot of trouble sleeping. And since February, I've had daily headaches that don't go away. Mm-hmm. We've been planning my daughter's wedding, and everything's going well there. But I guess I'm just not I'm having difficulties, you know, dealing with the stress.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
With my sleep, I've been through some counseling sessions with medication, and the medication made me hallucinate and all these other things. So wasn't appropriate. Now I'm on some medicine to help me sleep, and it's okay. But the headaches that are here 24/7, I can't go see a doctor until September for those.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, wow.
Well, Jill, wow. How can we help Lisa? How
well, about you, Lisa, I'm so sorry because this should be an exciting time with your daughter and planning her wedding and handing her off to her groom, husband-to-be. But I'm wondering, because when we look at stress scales, actually some of the happiest times in our lives are also some of the most stressful. And a wedding is right up there in terms of level of stress. And all the things that we attach with that, the social presence, the money, the cost of it, the wanting to do it just right. And I wonder if big events in your life previously have caused you to feel stress. And I hear our music, but I'm wondering if maybe you can think about that. What's your relationship with stress and anxiety over the years? Is this the first time you've experienced this, or does this happen around bigger events in your life?
That's good. All right, so Lisa, you can hear the music. Hold on. We're going to take a break and we'll come back. I want you to think about what Jill just asked. What has been your experience with stress in the past? And I tell you, I don't want you to wait till September.
I know.
I hope that we're going to get you some help, you know, in the meantime. But weddings, raising children, it's all stressful. But we can get some help and support. We'll be right back after this.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now, let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. Yes, we would love to talk to you. We have some lines open, 1-800-229-3000. Currently, we are speaking with Lisa, whose daughter's getting married, and she is experiencing a lot of stress and physical symptoms as a result. And Lisa, Jill asked you a question about, have you experienced this before, these kind of symptoms before?
At different times in life.
Yes. I mean, when we went out to the Grand Canyon or out to California and drove, I was having trouble handling this, yeah, I guess, the unknown about going there. And of course, my doctor gave me medication, which I tried the same medication this time, and it did the same hallucination drugs and all that. And I was like, I didn't remember.
Yeah, that's not a good med for you. That's a dead giveaway. No. that's not a good fit.
Yeah.
But again, Lisa, this is like, okay, going to the Grand Canyon, California, that's a happy time in life. That's a vacation.
Right.
So what you're describing is really interesting, that happy times in your life cause you stress.
Right. And another time happened when my dad died.
Well, okay.
And then that was a while back, and counseling seemed to help me then.
Okay, good.
I was also dealing with, my dad passed away, my folks divorced right 2 months before that.
Yeah.
And I had a condition, like a nerve condition for like pain. And I had surgery, and the surgery was not as successful as we wanted to be.
Yeah.
So that all was
It sounds like, you know, we know there's a mind-body connection, and it sounds like when things are, bigger events out of your normal routine in life, when bigger things hit, and this is true for all of us, they do create stress. But for some of us, more than others, our body takes the hit. And so how it comes out is that it manifests in all of these physical symptoms and problems that kind of take on a life of their own and require management. And I'm sorry that that happens for you. But what I think, like when your dad died and you were going through all that, you went to counseling and got support. That is one of the things that can help us through these bigger events. And I think because it worked for you before, it would probably be a good idea again. Now, you mentioned counseling, but you also mentioned it in the same sentence with meds. And so I want to make a distinction. Going and getting meds from a doctor or a psychiatrist is not the same thing as going to therapy or going to counseling, right? Those are usually separate people.
Yeah. Well, they were separate people at this place I went to.
Okay.
It was like they wanted you to see the counselor, but then they wanted you also to do the meds.
Well, right, because counseling along with medication, it has better outcomes for especially conditions like you're describing. So is that possible for you to get back into counseling along with doing – it sounds like you're on better medication now. But also for the headaches, I'm not understanding why it's going to take you clear to September to get an appointment.
That's the neurology place.
Oh,
where
it's
I've been
neurology.
Before.
Okay. Yeah. That's
However, you know, Lisa, you can also go to your primary care. Sometimes they can bump you up in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need all the support you can get, but
I mean, that's a long time to suffer without even being able to see someone.
Right.
I mean, well, she told me, you know, get in when you can.
Right.
That's what I was.
But then you also want to be on a wait list, right, for cancellations.
I am on that.
Okay.
So. Okay. JJ, what do you suggest for Lisa?
Well, two questions for Lisa. One is there anything that you do on a regular basis that helps alleviate any of either the pain of the headache and or the stress response that you're experiencing? And then two, what does your support community look like? Do you have friends or maybe from church or in the neighborhood or family that you know care about you and you've been able to share some of this with, and they can pray for you, they can pray over you? And they may also know some local resources that might be helpful.
Okay. Well, I apply heat sometimes, and that helps. So you take a shower. That helps with the headache some. But, you know, as soon as I get out of the shower, the headache's there.
Gotcha.
I've got people at a church that I know are praying for me, but I don't really – I don't go out and be with them. And I think probably that's one of the things I need is an outlet for me.
Yes.
I mean, I am, I take care of my son, and I'm in a program where I'm supposed to be teaching him to be more independent. And so
you have other stressors, Lisa. You have other stressors. It's not that this is the only thing.
Right.
And
there is a thing called compassion fatigue when you have a primary care role in someone else's life that is draining. You can do it in love and in service, but it is draining, and it's important that you have a support system that cares for you so that you don't get completely burned out where you then can't appropriately care for those in your life. So I would just encourage you, as you said, I do think it's important for you to have that support. It's important for you to be able to go and spend time with friends, not just knowing that they're praying for you at a distance, but actually spending time with them, letting them love on you, letting them pray with you in the room. I think that those are going to be important things to help fill you back up so you have something that's overflowing to then care for others.
Well, and also when you're not feeling well, it's hard to even leave one's environment.
Right.
And I think it's important, Lisa, that you get out of your house. So that you know, going and meeting a friend for coffee, having a little break is important if you're at all able to. It will help your outlook and your mood as well.
I agree. We're going to send you a copy, Lisa, of 100 Days of Healing. It's a devotional that has teaching as well as prayer and scripture. And, you know, it will probably just give you that little bit of brief moment for you, just like what JJ and Jill are suggesting, because you do have to take care of yourself. You know, we always talk about putting the oxygen mask on first. And on one of my last flights, I heard them talk about that because you hear them say it every time on a flight. Put yours on first before you help somebody else. And sometimes the oxygen is flowing even when you can't see it. And sometimes when you make those little bitty steps, like having a quiet time and taking time away to have a coffee with a friend, it helps you do the other things. And to advocate for yourself, talk to your primary care physician. Get in earlier because you don't need to struggle till September. We want to empower you to, you know, just speak up for yourself. Lisa, we're so glad that you called, and we look forward to continuing connection with you. You know, before we go to a break, JJ and Jill, you know, we have people who submit questions online, and they leave voicemails. And we had one from Darlene the other day, and her question is, this is no small thing, wants to know how to deal with the consequences of sin. You know, a lot of times people sin, make poor choices, and they have to deal with the consequences. JJ, what would you suggest for Darlene to do?
Yeah, well, I would say that it's twofold, right? So it's dealing with the consequences of my own sins, the consequences that I've brought on myself, but there's also dealing with the consequences of other people's sin done to me where I still encounter consequences. In the first category, it's own your stuff, right? Start with, okay, I brought this consequence on myself because of the choices that I made. This is what I have to live with. This is how I'm going to learn from this experience and not reject or despise the fact that I'm experiencing discipline, because God is trying to change my heart, right? God wants me to live a different way so that I experience life differently. So in the first case, own it. Take it on. In the second case, as much as you can, offer grace without rescuing. I'm not holding this against you. I'm not going to look down on you, but I also am not going to rescue you from the consequence of this decision that you've made.
I love it. Jill, do you have anything before we go to the break?
Well, I love what JJ said, but we need to live in reality. We need to face what we've done, right? And learn from the consequences so we don't repeat it.
Wow. And know that God does forgive you. That's, you know, part of accepting the grace and the mercy of God, the recognition, doing the work. We talk about this in recovery all the time, too. It's just making amends. It's, you know, doing the right thing from here on out. And dealing with that consequence of sin is grief and then freedom. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are continuing to take calls, 1-800-229-3000. But I just want to encourage you, we have a matching gift campaign going on, and that means that you can participate in changing people's lives. We have incredible donors who have planted a seed, and the match is up to $400,000. So every dollar up to $400,000 will be doubled. And I just want to encourage you, if you've never given to the life-giving ministry of New Life, today is your day to do that. You can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com/donate. And you can also text the word match to 28950. And a gift of any amount will be doubled up until the time we meet that match. And listen, it will change lives. It's not only the people that are listening on the show right now, but it's also all of the ways that we come into your life through our counselor and coaching network and our intensives and our many resources. We want to be here for you. And this matching gift campaign is a really great way for you to participate in changing people's lives. So I just want to give a shout out there. And JJ, I know that one of the things that you're going to be doing in a couple of weeks, on Saturday, April 13th, is our online Everyman's Battle. How would you encourage someone, whether it is the wife to have their husband attend or a man that needs to make restitution, make it right? How would you encourage them?
Yeah, first, make the call. Contact New Life and find out about the online workshop. It's the easiest way to attend an Everyman's Battle workshop. You don't have to travel. It's one day. It's a long day, but it's one day. It's the easiest way to do this, and it's so important. You don't have to live in this cycle of defeat and shame that you've been living in and continuing to cause destruction in the lives of those around you. If you're a wife or a fiance or a mom of someone who needs to attend, have the conversation. Not from the perspective of you better do this or else. That usually doesn't, coercion always meets resistance. But instead from the perspective of my heart is hurting, and I want you so much to be free. I want you to experience the freedom that God has for you. And so would you please make the call, sign up. I'll do whatever I can to help you go. But I want you to go to this because it's important for you to be free.
I love it. I love it. We hope to have many men sign up because we know that there's a problem and we can help you get on the road to freedom and recovery. Thanks, JJ. We're going to go to our final caller, but we're going to continue to take calls. If you're on hold, hold on. 1-800-229-3000 is the number to call. Susie's calling us from Frederick, Maryland and listens on WAVA. Hello, Susie. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I was listening to the lady who was having the headaches and not able to get into a neurologist. And I just wanted to share, I have also had a lot of stress that is carried in my body. Different ways I don't get the headaches. But what has helped me, and I don't know if it would help her or maybe others who might be listening, is several things. One is just movement or exercise or stretching. Maybe her tension headache is coming from tight shoulder muscles. I get that a lot. And there's a technique called Feldenkrais, Feldenkrais, which is fabulous for kind of unlocking tight muscles. And not too many people know about it, but she could ask about that or acupuncture and things that will kind of help her body release the tension, and things like that helped me tremendously. So I just wanted to call in and share that.
That's very kind of you, Susie. And it's true. Our body does carry that. JJ and I are big fans of chiropractors. I don't know about
yes.
you, Jill, but
I love that.
That is also part of that.
Right. Ahead, and Susie, what you're talking about are things and ways to reconnect with your body. And I think when we're under stress and people are having things in their body, they want to disconnect. Right? How do I stay very still and not move and kind of disconnect from that headache or that stress? And that's the opposite of what helps. We have to lean in, just like we have to lean into relationships, right? When there is conflict.
Right.
We have to lean into our body when it's experiencing stress and conflict and be kind to it. And these are all ways to do that. So I appreciate it.
Yes.
Sure. JJ?
And, one last thing. Is a magnesium level sometimes. Mm-hmm. We hear about calcium all the time, but magnesium also helps to relax the muscles.
It does, yeah. And they use that with neuropathy and all kinds of things. Restless leg.
Yeah.
Well, and to add to that, and of course, I'm the perfect person on the panel to speak to this. There's a reality called menopause that greatly impacts a woman's body,
right?
And has psychological, physiological, biological, hormonal issues that are going on that impact the way that you feel, impact the way that you respond to your world. And it's not talked about, quite frankly, it's just not talked about hardly at all. And it's a reality that, you know, half the population has or will deal with at some point. And again, of course, I'm the one bringing it up.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. We should have brought that up earlier. Because anything that you have experienced or struggled with in life, physically, emotionally, comes up in spades during that perimenopause phase of life.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. I love, Susie, I love your compassion mm-hmm. for Lisa. And, you know, it's, I'm glad that you have found relief and that you called and shared with us today. I'm going to send you a copy of 100 Days of healing as well. The devotionals are so powerful because many times we get stuck in our own thought processes and we can't see, you know, we encourage people to be in the Word every day. It's just part of it. But what happens in our devotionals, there are teaching moments where we integrate what you hear on the program, where we're talking about psychological, spiritual, mental, and emotional solutions for what you're going through. And in scripture is a big part of that piece, because that's what we've done for 35 years. You know, as we're coming to the end of this program, we're going to continue taking calls, 1-800-229-3000. We have a couple of lines open. But JJ, as we end this program, I want you to encourage someone who may be struggling with reaching out for help. What would you suggest would be a first step?
Yeah, well, recognize you're not alone. You're not alone. This shame that you're feeling, and I'm the only one who feels this way and deals with this and all of that. That's all a lie that the enemy wants you to believe to keep you trapped. So you're not alone. And then there's this whole community, not only of people who can understand because they've experienced the same feelings of shame and all of that, but they're also there to help. I mean, Susie is a great example of this, right? There's great wisdom in the counsel of many. So that's why we encourage people, be a part of a larger community. Don't just isolate and try and figure all this out on your own, because you can't. None of us have the ability to figure this life out on our own. We need other people. That's why God calls us into a family of faith, not just a personal relationship with Him. And so you're not alone. Don't let that lie dictate or keep you trapped. Instead, overcome that lie. Yeah.
I love that. Jill?
Right. Well, and the only way out of that shame is to connect. And that is the hardest. That gap can feel so big, but the isolation keeps the shame alive and well and actually causes it to grow. So,
that's right.
Yeah, that leaning in again to relationship and just taking a risk, even a small risk, it will shift some things in your brain and give you a different perspective. And that's what we're looking for, little shifts. Multiple shifts.
Step into something hard, right? We have to take that first step. Mm-hmm. It's that, you know, that first step in the training.
Yes.
First step in the,
that's right.
The work.
That's
diet.
Right. Mm-hmm. So maybe your call, 1-800-229-3000, is your first step. Thank you, JJ. Thank you, Jill. And thank you, callers and listeners. We are here for you. We want to help you into your new life.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.